Let's continue our series of lessons on the 119th Psalm, and specifically in this first part of our series, we're considering the 10 different words that are used to describe the revealed will of God to His people. And this evening, we're ready to consider the term judgments. His revealed will for us in this church age, that we need to consider them as judgments, as they're described here in Psalm 119, and one of the examples is found in verse 7. So we can read Psalm 119 and verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Again, it's talking about the Word of God. It's talking about His revealed will and the importance and the value of learning those judgments, knowing what they are. The Vines Dictionary gives this definition of the Hebrew word that is translated for us, judgment. It means, it has two main senses, and the first deals with the act of a sitting as a judge who gives a righteous verdict. And that, of course, is something we understand from the English word as well. It's hearing a case and then making a proper verdict concerning that subject, concerning that case. But the word can also mean and reference the rights that belong to someone. Judgments. This is your right. This is the judgment that has been made. And so we'll look at both of these thoughts of this word. The first one in verdict, His righteous judgment. In our last lesson, we found that God is a reliable witness, that He gives testimony of what's true and what's right. And His testimony is unimpeachable. It's trustworthy. It's true and needs to be received as such. And the way He says it is, or the way that it was, we accept His testimony. But now we see Him not as a witness, but as the judge, who makes the final decision, who has the authority. His word is the last word. And as judge, His judgments have power and authority. And as judge, He has the ability and the authority and the power to execute those judgments, that verdict that He has rendered. And so this is what we see in the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, we see that He declares that about Himself, that He has the right to judge all things. And whatever His word is on that, whatever His verdict is, it's a righteous judgment. It is the last word on the subject. And we as Christians, if we're going to benefit from His revealed will, we have to accept that as His judgment and as the final word on whatever subject it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." This is why you're living. This is why you're breathing. "To do the will of God, your Creator." Verse 14. "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." And He's already given us the standard by which we're going to be judged, by which He's going to render those judgments at the end of our life. In His Word, He's already given those judgments about what is good and what is evil, and the consequences of evil and the benefits of doing what's right in His sight. God's Word is to be heeded as that final authority on every subject. And everyone is going to be judged according to what's revealed to us in His Word. Specifically in this church age, we see in Romans 12 and verse 16 that we are going to be judged in accordance with what God has revealed to the Apostle Paul to be what is right. And based on what is revealed to us in Paul's writings, that's what we're going to be judged by. And Paul declares that in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. "In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, Paul says. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ that comes from Jesus, but that was given to the Apostle Paul as the administrator of God's verdicts in this church age. In Genesis 18, verse 25, we see the root word that's translated in the 119th Psalm as judgment. We see that same word translated in Genesis 18, verse 25, with the English word right. And so it's the same family of words. It has the same sense as a judgment. And in verse 25, this, of course, if you remember, is when God had revealed to Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their evil. And Abraham was having a hard time understanding, knowing what he knew about God, that he was fair and just and he always did what was right. And he thought surely his nephew Lot had influenced some people in those cities to come to believe in Jehovah and to worship Jehovah, and surely he wouldn't wipe out all of those people along with all the evil. Abraham understood God's judgment of those who rejected their Creator, but he thought surely there's some righteous people besides Lot, and surely there's somebody else there. And so this is what we read in verse 25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you." Abraham knew something about God, and that didn't sound right. Of course, he didn't have all his facts. He didn't know that there weren't even 10 righteous in those evil cities. But then he comes to this conclusion. Even though he couldn't fully understand everything yet, he says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" That word right is the same family of words that we have in Psalm 119, judgments. His judgment will be right. It will be correct. It will be just. And that is true of everything he reveals to us in his word. A lot of people think that God's not fair when he says do this or don't do that. It's just not fair. It's always fair. It's always right. It's always what's in your best interest. But you need to accept the Bible. Before you ever open the book, you need to understand whatever is revealed here, whatever subject, this is the judgment of the judge of all the earth. It's not going to change. He has the power, he has the right to make these decisions. And Abraham had that confidence in God's judgment, even though he didn't fully understand everything at the time. And even when it appeared, when God's word appeared to contradict what he knew about God, he knew it was right. And when you come across things in the Word of God that seem a little difficult to understand and difficult possibly to apply to your life, always come to this understanding. Well, I don't always understand why he said this, but I know it's right. It's his judgment. To understand and know the judgments of God are as important whenever you go to do anything that's governed by the laws of the land. It's good to check to see what those laws are first. For example, before we ever even signed a contract with a contractor to build this building, we had several meetings with the city to say, okay, what are you going to require before we could fully understand whether we could afford to do what we needed to do and whether it would work on this property. There were a lot of things we had to know. What was the city going to render as a judgment on the things that we are thinking about doing? And it was quite a process, and there were quite a few requirements of the city even before you began to build. With your life, which is far more important than building a building, but with your life, as you build your life, as you live your life, you need to first check with the standard by which you're going to be judged. Otherwise, if we had just come in here and started building and doing whatever we want, however we wanted, guess what the city was going to do? They would come in with a bulldozer and say, no, you've got to tear all of that down. Before you build your life, before you make the decisions of your life, check with the verdicts first. Check with the judgments of God. what he has already declared to be his standard for what's right, what's good, what's lasting. You'll save yourself a lot of cost, physical, emotional, all kinds of tragedy can be avoided by just accepting the Word of God as the verdict, the judgment of the judge of all the earth. But there's another side to that as well. The word judgment, sometimes I think our first response to the word is maybe harshness, a judgment. He judged. That's harsh. And it's just unbending. That's the judgment. That's the verdict. But when you begin to have the understanding that the psalmist had, when he said, I want to learn your judgments, and I will praise you because of your judgments, I think there's another side of it that we need to understand is very positive for us, that we shouldn't consider the judgments of God as something harsh and unbending and contrary to us, because the judgments of God also have to do with what he has declared to be our legal, eternal rights as a child of God. And that's a positive thing. That's a good thing. Psalm 7, the judge has declared these things to be true about us, and we can rejoice in those judgments because they are in our favor. Even in a courtroom, there are two sides. And when a judgment is made, if it's against, for example, someone who's accused of murder, that judgment comes down, that is something that is going to bring suffering and heartache to that individual, and it is harsh. But for those that are on the other side, it's relief. It's a good thing. For us, concerning God's judgments of how we are to live our life and the rights and the benefits that are assured us because of his judgment, those are something we can rejoice about. In Psalm 7, verses 10 and 11, my defense is of God who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Let's jump over to Psalm 10, verses 16 through 18, where we read Psalm 10, 16. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his hand. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. So the judgments of God are in our favor, those that recognize that we are nothing apart from him, that we are poor, that we are without any recourse or any source of the things that we need to survive in life. The righteous judge who always does right has given a judgment in our favor. He says, I'll take care of you. I'll provide everything you need if you just look to me. And so that judgment of the Lord is a very positive one for us. Should not be perceived as harsh. Psalm 103, the first six verses here. Psalm 103, 1 through 6. These are my rights as declared by the judge of heaven and earth. I rejoice in his judgments. I rejoice in his verdicts concerning who I am and what I possess because I'm his child. Psalm 103, 1 through 6. Bless the Lord. Don't be angry with him. Don't consider him a harsh, mean judge. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Why should we bless the Lord? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And those benefits we can describe as his judgments toward us. What are those benefits? Who forgives all your iniquities? Well, how do I know that I'm saved? Because I know I was as guilty as the next guy. I deserve the wrath of the judge. But how do I know I'm going to heaven and that my sins are forgiven? Because the judge has declared it so. All of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, he says that's the requirement, that's the standard of what is right in the sight of our Creator. He forgives all our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The word justice there is the same word in Psalm 119 that's translated judgment. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. We are born as slaves to sin. That oppression doesn't get any worse than that. We were born into sin as sin slaves. But the judge has rendered a verdict. Doug is free of guilt and the penalty of sin once and for all, because Jesus paid the debt. I'm glad for the judgments of God, aren't you? Those declarations. John 1, the Gospel of John, verses 11 and 12. We are to rejoice in the judgments of the Lord as revealed in the Word of God, the revealed will of God, because they are the assurance of our heavenly rights, our eternal rights as the children of God. Another reason why we should know the Word of God, know His judgments, so that we know what our rights and privileges are. So many of God's people don't fully understand what Jesus died to give them, to make them and to give them, now and for eternity. But when you read His judgments about those things, then you can know and you can have that assurance. I know these things are true because the judge has handed down the verdict, and I believe him, and I submit to his authority. John 1, verses 11 and 12. He, Jesus, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. I have the right to call God my Father. If I hadn't read the verdict myself, that'd be blasphemy. To call the Creator of heaven and earth Father, and to pretend that I have all the privileges and access to the Almighty God because I'm His child, that would be blasphemy. It'd be foolishness for someone just to think that. But I have it in black and white. The judgment's been handed down. I know what the judge has declared to be my right as His child because of faith in Jesus Christ. I think we'll close there this evening rather than continue on to the next description of the revealed will of God.